I thank God for everything he's done for me. And, you know, I'm one of them. I see my name in the book. I've been to the little room. God himself told me that I belong to him. He told me that I came from him and I'll go back to him. And how could I not thank him for that? He gave me the greatest gift that I could ever have, and that's eternal life. That I don't have to worry about where I'm going.
Come on now.
I don't have to worry about each day.
No.
And, you know, the name of this song is Remind Me Who I Am. Yeah. And I just want to say that every time, every service, God reminds me who I am.
Amen.
Through the testimonies, God reminds me who I am.
Yes.
And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the young people that are out there that I know that probably most likely are born again. And they got sucked up into the world, and I've been praying for them to come back. They belong here. You know, they lost all their benefits. They don't have no protection from Satan. They need to be here.
Amen.
And, you know, when you go out there, you know, I've been there, done that. You get temporary amnesia. You forget who you are. You forget where you're supposed to be.
Come on.
You forget what God's done for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just pray that God will put pressure on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just sounds terrible, but make them miserable enough to want to get back here.
Right.
If God has a way, I know what I went through to get back here.
Amen.
By the grace of God, he brought me back here.
That's right.
I had nothing to do with it. I walked away from this for whatever reason, and I decided the world was a better place, but it wasn't. So I came back with my tail between my legs, and I had to repent, and I've been here ever since.
Amen.
I'm going to try to play this.
Amen, Lord.
Like a stone, I'm running far from home. Remind me who I am. When I can't read your love, afraid I'll never be enough. Remind me who I am. If I am your beloved, will you help me believe? Tell me once again. Sorry about that. I was nervous. It's been a while.
Amen. He reminds us who we are every time we come.
Amen.
But he also reveals a little bit more to us who we are.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking while he was playing, you know, that this ain't that hard.
No.
Just to be yourself, just to
enjoy
your family.
That's right.
You know, we get together and got a big family. We get together. When somebody's not quite themselves, it shows up. You know, they can't get along and just relax and just be part of whatever's going on. Maybe all kinds of this, that, and the other. But, you know, it's better if you can just be yourself.
Right.
Bring what you got.
Amen.
And, be proud of it. We was,
really can't be anybody else.
Brandon and Sarah had got a big old swimming pool, you know, big 33-foot, about as big as a lake. And he was out there and had this big seal, probably sit that high up off the water. And Brandon was trying to get up on that thing. The funniest thing you ever saw. We sit there and just rolled and laughed, you know. And I was kind of amazed because, you know, Brandon, you know, he's usually pretty precise what he does and things. And he was just having himself a time. And we were too, you know. And I was just thinking about that. I think about that a lot when we get together, you know, how we can make each other feel at home.
Right.
Right.
And just enjoy the family. It's not hard being part of something. Just join in and bring what you got. As weird as it might be, you know, you just be you.
Amen.
You know, when you see people out here, you see people anywhere. The person you can get with and the person you can enjoy is somebody that just enjoys life.
Right.
You know, and somebody's all careful and nervous and doing everything, you know, that, you know, trying to impress or trying to be something they're not, it just doesn't fly. So I'm thankful it's like this. I'm thankful it's an unconditional covenant.
Right.
Amen.
I like it this way. I was telling Jim, I like it a whole lot better this way.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I tried to keep law one time. It didn't quite work.
Yeah.
It didn't quite work.
Amen.
It never does.
Right.
Amen. Let's see. Let's see.
Amen.
Page 227. Praise him in advance.
Yeah. Go ahead and praise him.
He dwells in the praises of his people.
Right.
You want him to come around? Start praising.
Amen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Lift him up.
Yeah.
Figured before we started, I would come up and testify because I have a chance. I have a voice.
Right.
I'm able to be here right now.
That's all you need.
And, you know, the Be It Not Strange sermon that was preached, you know, it comes to my mind. The kids even say it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm literally seeing God change me in the natural. Like, I know that sounds weird, but to try to explain it the best that I can is that naturally, I say things a certain way and I use certain word vernacular. And what naturally comes out of my mouth, and the people around me that hear me are used to that. But I am naturally automatically substituting words for other words that I normally wouldn't say that are more godlike. And I'm, you know, at first when it happened, I'm like, be it not strange. And now it's like, I see it. And it's like, I do want more of that. It's like I do want that change. It is not strange. It's becoming natural. It feels, you know, comfortable. You know, they tell us to get out of your comfort zone with certain things, but with this, it is my comfort zone to get closer to Him.
More and more.
And I can't wait to hear what's being preached tonight. And I'm glad to see each and every one of you. It's always good to be home.
Amen.
Brother Don, let me say something real quick. You know what you said is so true. You know, as I look back on my life, you know, there was a time that I'd look at other people and I kind of wished I were like them.
Oh, yeah.
I said, oh, they're so spiritual. Yeah. They're so this or they're so that.
Yeah.
You know, I learned something because those are the people that aren't here.
Yeah.
You know? And as I've gotten older, I've gotten far more comfortable with being who I am.
Yeah.
You know, because God made me a certain way.
Right.
And He made me a certain way for a reason.
Right.
And, you know, He made me that way so I can reach people that maybe you can't reach.
That's exactly.
Or maybe He puts me in a place where you're not going to be.
Right.
Because that's my job. My job is to be out there and be Christ to this generation. Be God. God in flesh. You know, and I'm nothing less than God.
Amen.
I'm nothing less than God. You know, and I was thinking about that song, Remember Who I Am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just not nobody.
Right.
I am God in flesh.
I'm somebody.
Amen. I am somebody.
I'm somebody.
You know, and when they meet me, they meet somebody.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I was thinking also, you know, I've come here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you have to keep coming to church.
Yeah.
You know, you come to church because God gives you
right.
marching orders. You can just look back at the things that were preached and how much brighter they are now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd miss that if I didn't come. I'd say, right. you know, oh, I've been here long enough. I know enough.
Yeah.
I can, you know, I can miss a couple Wednesdays. I can miss a couple Sundays.
Come on.
No, I can't.
Right.
Now, I need it. I need to be reminded every day who I am.
Right.
And what my job is. And this glorious thing, you know, when you know who you are and you know where you came from and you know where you're going, then you just relax and be yourself.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Because you know. There's no more guessing.
Right.
That's right.
You know,
that's
and
right.
I also have to say that the words of wisdom that this word gives us.
Amen.
I was listening to my wife today, and she was talking to a friend who's they're going through a lot. And I was just listening to the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the wisdom of this world.
Right.
It wasn't the psychology of this world. It wasn't the thing that you would hear normally.
Right.
It was pure God talking to an unbeliever,
right?
An unbeliever,
sure.
But using the word of God and using it with such wisdom, I said, we've been trained.
Right.
We have been trained.
Yeah.
Very well.
And there are benefits. And I do pray that all of our sons and daughters who aren't here come.
Right.
There are benefits. But
yeah.
if they don't come,
it's all right.
I'm just as happy as can
yeah.
be because they're taken
Amen.
Care of.
Yeah.
I would like to see people not
Yeah.
get speeding tickets, as they say.
Yeah.
Sure.
I would
yeah.
like to see that not happen.
Right.
But a speeding ticket is just a speeding ticket.
Right.
And the top 10 is just the top 10.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's another thing where I just relax
right.
and be who I am.
Yeah.
And don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry about anything. Just walk each day, get up, say, God, what you got for me today?
Yeah.
And just do it. And yeah. just be surrendered.
Yeah.
And
right.
just listen for that still small voice.
Right.
And boy, does he talk to you.
Yeah.
I just
Amen.
Praise him.
Amen.
I love
Amen.
It.
I love it.
That's
Amen.
Exactly right.
Amen. Amen.
It's not so hard.
But I just want to thank God for being here. Such a great revelation we have. Well, this weekend we had a family reunion, and it was my grandmother's dream. Her name was Queen Esther. And she had 9 children, 2 sets of twins. My mother is a twin. And so it's her generation that got together this weekend. And they flew in from all over for her dream to keep her family together. Well, while we were there, my mother had another heart attack, small heart attack. And we had to call the paramedics, but it was so wonderful because we, you know, within that queen's dream were 3 nurses right there. Mm-hmm. You know, within that queen's dream was a doctor right there. Within that queen's dream was everything we needed to function as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of what we do naturally
right,
here,
right.
but it's so strange out in the world. But when you have that one unit, it works like that. It, everybody kicks in to do what they have
That's
to do.
Right.
So the paramedics were called, and it was kind of neat because it was at one of my brother. My brother has a I don't know, entertainment venue, and so we had it there. So it was all about the family. Everything that was centered there was all about that family, and it made me think about God's family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He placed you where He needs you. And He has provided a place for you to be. And, well, long story short, all the grandkids and the great-grandkids, and they were crying. And it was traumatic for them to see her being put that way. And my sister and my brother, and it was all backwards. But just the natural God gave me peace.
Amen.
Peace in the midst of the storm.
Right.
And it's a peace that surpassed your understanding.
Amen.
I wasn't losing it. I was calming it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was His calmness that came through. And His calmness is so much greater than what the world gives you, because
mm-hmm.
they give you temporary calmness.
That's right.
You know, they give you temporary
right.
fix for whatever. But
right,
this is an eternal
Man's
rest.
Amen.
You know,
eternal rest.
And it really is. But I just want to give flowers to James, because James was there. And we had to follow, my sister and I had to follow the paramedics with my mom in there. And as we were leaving out, we could see James rally all those troops. And I mean, elderly and young was listening to every word he had to say. He had them holding hands, he had them in a circle, and they were praying for my mother. And by the time we got to the hospital, she was better, but it was God on the scene, and God knew what to do, and he knew who had to be there. And I'm just so thankful for that. And you know, my husband, he was there today, but he wasn't there at that time, but it was still God represented, you know, and God took control. And I'm just so thankful for that. And I'm so thankful for the peace that I have. You know, I'm going through a lot with trying to get her and my stepfather situated, but I'm telling you, God is so great, you know. And even when that happened, it was just enough to make the family aware that something has to be done. And you know, her grandkids have kicked in. They're you know, they're bringing food. They're, you know, even the ones out of that's not even in the area, they're saying, "Hey, grand, your dinner will be there. Hey, grand, your lunch will be there. Hey," and it made me realize that you don't have to wait till something happened. You should
right.
be ready.
Right.
You know, these things should automatically be within the body.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and
right.
so, you know, like if you get cut, you don't, I just want to say it should be somebody already there prepared to stitch
right.
it. You know, you shouldn't have to go on a hunt. And that's what I see in God's family.
Amen.
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 I'm so stirred up over here hearing these testimonies, and I just couldn't sit down any longer and hold my peace. I'm so grateful to just be able to wake up this morning. You know, I've been kind of dealing with some things. You know, I'm at kind of like that unique age where you're dealing with younger people, and you got to deal with the older that, you know, are getting up there. And in my family, my in-laws, they're trying to work on a house, and they just physically can't do it. And so I'm just blessed, and I feel so honored to be able to be that guy to help them, because like 2 years ago, I couldn't turn a light switch on. And now I'm over here doing stuff that I couldn't even imagine. But it's because of this message. It's because of the leadership here. It's because of discerning the Lord's body. You know, every person in here has shown me something and taught me. And I've been able to take that and do things with it. And, I'm not just no bump on a log. I'm here to praise him. Right. I'm here to receive. Right. I'm here to give. You know, and I see my dad, he's struggling. You know, he had like a triple bypass surgery or whatever that is. And, you know, he's had his teeth pulled and stuff like that. All of his teeth were pulled out. And they had to reconstruct his mouth and stuff like that. And, you know, he's just so frail. When I first met him, he was really strong. You know, that was like 17 years ago. And, you know, to be able to see, like, just how far along in age he's gotten, and, you know, just the things of life, how these things, you know, we get old, we're young, we're old, and then we're out. And, you know, that's just life. And
Amen.
And I'm just so grateful to be able to play that role in their life, and that they can call me and count on me to be there for them and stuff, you know. And it's just so fitting, you know. And I've just looked at how unique everybody is in here, and we're jointly fit together. You know, we all bring something different to the table and a different angle of the big picture. And I love this. I wouldn't trade my shoes for anybody else's. You know, he said there's no two snowflakes that are the same, no two deer antlers that are the same. I'm glad I'm not the same as anybody else.
Amen.
I love how he made me, because I'm beautifully and wonderfully made, you know. And it's just, this message has just shown me so much. And it's like I run everything through that filter of the revelation. Everything I run into, songs I hear, things I see, you know. I was over at the house that I was painting at, and, you know, these firefighters came, and they're kind of clearing out the line. So they hooked up the fire hydrant hose to this big gun that just drenched the whole playground. So all these kids are coming out of nowhere, and I see it through the window. I'm like, yo, I gotta go over there and do something, you know, get wet. You know, when I come in here, I get wet.
Right.
You know, I just jump in the water. I jump in the drink. I'll take two drinks, you know. It's just... I got to be immersed into this. Why would you want to just hold it? You know, somebody in here has got the testimony that's going to get us out of here. Why you want to sit on that? So, you know, I just wanted to get this off my chest, you know, and I feel a little bit more free, you know, because I don't want to leave here in the same condition I came in. You know, I want to be a part of this thing. So I love y'all.
I didn't want to interrupt the flow of songs. I was going to wait because he's trying to sing, but we'll do that next. As soon as I sat down, I don't know why, because I hadn't thought about it all day, I started thinking about a shepherd and his sheep. And we hear all the time, you know, that how God gives us free will, and he does. And how he leads us to green pastures, and he does. And we know that sheep have good hearing, and they hear the master's voice. But we also know that sheep are stupid. And a sheep left to its own will go from one tuft of grass to the next tuft of grass until he's in trouble.
In trouble.
That shepherd also has a shepherd crook. Yeah. You know, and he uses that to steer you sometimes.
Right.
We have free will, but he'll use that crook.
Right.
That shepherd will break the sheep's leg if it wanders too much because it's an extra stupid sheep. I've been that stupid sheep. And you know, but then that same shepherd will carry that sheep around until it's used to following them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's why we love correction like that.
Right.
Number one, because we'd rather be got with a crook than have our legs broke. But you know, either way, the shepherd's going to keep us. And there's so much more on that analogy, because God chose that and made sheep and shepherds for us to understand what his relationship is with us. And it's really nice. You know, you look at the natural, you see the spiritual. But if you stop and ask, if you're really honest with yourself, the spiritual is the natural.
Right.
Sure.
You can't separate them. Just like we're one with God, mm-hmm. you cannot separate the spirit from the natural.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. 100% God, 100% man.
Yeah.
But there's only one
man.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Praise him in advance.
Yeah.
Praise him in advance. I've had my share of ups and downs, times when there was no one around. God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the enemy. I started singing. I've had my share of up and downs.
second chance. Come on, let's pray to Him in advance.
And that's why I praise Him with a song.
When things are right and when they're wrong, He's given me a second chance. Come on, let's praise Him in advance.
Amen, amen, amen.
I was looking forward to in July, I guess it is, when we're having the Bible study.
Yeah.
That's always good because it's a little more relaxed.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, maybe we're all going to sit down there, whatever. Nobody really heading it up in a sense. And be able to ask questions and answer questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just be yourself.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. I'm looking forward.
Yeah.
If Brother Moore's looking forward, and God's laid it on his heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm expecting.
For good reason.
Yes.
I'm expecting.
Right. God's in it.
It's saying,
Amen.
He brought me out. We'll give
Amen.
Him out. Page 52.
He brought me out.
He brought me out.
Amen.
He did it all.
That's why I pray.
Amen.
That's all right.
It's got me no matter what.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. My heart was distressed. Named Jehovah's red brown. And low in the pit where my sin dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep, my replay, who tenderly brought me out to the golden day. Oh, He brought me out of the miry clay.
All about no danger of all.
Thank you for that rock of revelation. That's solid. Winds may come, false doctrines may come, criticisms may come, devils may come, come what may, Lord. Not tossed to and fro, it will stand. Thank you for that word. Thank you for that revelation. Thank you for another opportunity to be here tonight, Lord, and for this service, an opportunity to praise you and worship you, and thank you for your people, Lord, and the testimonies and the praises. And Lord, as we approach the word, Lord, move here and speak out of the way and have your way. Lord, use my lips, my hands, my ears, my feet, any way that you wish to, Lord. And you talk to us and answer our questions. And let us walk out of here like they did when they walked to him on the road to Emmaus and say, did not our hearts rejoice within us? You know what we need, Lord, and we ask that you bring that to us. Touch your bride around the world, Lord. I think about Brother Trevor. Touch his body. Bring full healing to him. Sister Anna, Lord, waiting for the days for eyes to open, Lord. And you said by your stripes we are healed. And we are believers and believe that and have seen that manifest. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for letting us know who we are. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. God bless everyone this evening. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. And I'm like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's where I get my help. It's where I get my benefits. It's where I get my marching orders. Yes. Where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And that's scripture. Yes. And do not fail to assemble yourselves together. Right. Amen. That much more as you see that day approaching. Amen. Remember the announcements? We got Brother Bean this Sunday, by the way. Don't forget that. We got the water ready, and he's going to baptize. I believe he's going to preach, so looking forward to that. But you know, at times I think the devil has lied to us and made church harder than what it is. And don't get me wrong, there's a bitterness to this thing. There's a price to this thing. There's things that you do that your flesh doesn't always and would rather do the other way. Scripture already says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary one to the other. But when you get a real revelation and the word of God talks to you and it gets quickened to you, it's the greatest thing that can happen to you. And Jesus said, you know, just to show you how much it is a lie of the devil, my load is light. My burden is light. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Yet the devil will try to convince people that he'll give them a hard time. He won't let them do what they want to do. Well, that might mean you didn't come from him. It might mean you didn't come from him. And I don't mean that in good works and good living. I just mean that in that you either have a nature change or you don't. You have a heart after God or you don't. But Paul said the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness.
Amen.
Think about that. It means you're perfect.
Yeah.
It cleans you up.
Yeah.
It makes you worthy.
Yes.
He didn't stop there. He says it's peace.
Yes.
You want real peace? You want true peace? You want real rest? Get into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Not the psychology of the world.
Yeah.
They'll cater to you. God sometimes will rebuke you, but that's what's going to bring you peace. Because what does it say? It might be grievous at first, but after a while, it brings forth peaceable fruits.
Yes. Amen.
It's here to help you.
Yes.
It's righteousness.
That's right.
It's peace.
Amen.
And it's joy, he said, in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And Peter said, this is joy unspeakable and full of glory. People act like serving God is the worst thing that can happen to them sometimes. And I'm here to tell you it's the best thing that's happened to me. Oh, yeah, could I be in Florida? Could I be in Arizona? Absolutely, I could. Has my flesh wanted to think that way? And my mind wanted to think that way? Absolutely, it has. But I'm telling you, I got righteousness tonight. I got peace tonight. I got joy tonight. I got rest tonight. And the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. I wouldn't trade my gold for your wood at all, brother. Brother Lynn used to preach one time. I got a pearl. I got something of great price. I got something that Jesus paid for. That he gave it to me free. He gave me this gift called eternal life. I didn't have to earn this thing. It was given to me. So I think the devil sometimes makes it hard, and it's not that hard in one side of the coin.
Right.
I can give you the other side of the coin. You're going to pay a price. You're going to want to go the other way. But I don't want to give the devil too much credit there. That's just flesh. That's just because you were sex born.
Right. Right.
But greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And we are more than conquerors, is what the Bible tells me.
Amen.
We let people lie to us. We should let the devil lie to us. Tell us it's hard. Tell us we've been mistreated. Tell us this or that. And this is the greatest thing that you can have happen to your life.
Amen.
You couldn't be treated any better than what God can treat you.
Amen.
No greater love. See, we got too much scripture.
Yeah.
I didn't even come here. This ain't my message. But no greater love hath a man than the one that will lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
Now, Brother Dennis, I've met a lot of people.
Yeah.
in my 42 years of living.
Right.
But I have not yet met one in a sense of natural death that has laid down their life for me, Brother Jim.
Amen.
But I know a man named Jesus Christ that walked up Calvary's hill when it stressed him out. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Yeah, that was bitter. That was hard on him. But he said, not my will, but thine be done. And he loved you and I so much that despite what it was going to cost him, he laid down his life for you and me. Oh, my. You can run everywhere else you want, but you ain't going to find that too often.
Right.
I don't know if you will find it, to be quite honest with you. I think many of us in here, we lay our lives down in a lot of forms. Eternal life is what you do for others. But I haven't given my life for you. Not the same way Jesus Christ did. There's a lot of things, brother. I think Paul said on... I'm free from all things, but I make myself in bondage for men's kind. You know, I'm paraphrasing it. I live for other people. But Jesus actually walked up Calvary's hill, got hung on a cross, and died. No greater love hath a man. I want to lay down his life for you. And Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. That wasn't hearsay, Brother Lockett. That was manifestation. You're not going to be loved anymore. You can be loved by God.
Come on.
You won't be taken care of any more than you can be taken care of by God.
Amen.
You won't get peace the way you need peace any more than you can by God. See, and I even say it that way because I actually know people in the world that have good educations, that do have psychology, and it brings good things to them. I ain't saying that's all bad. But I'm telling you, it does not measure up to what God can give you. A lot of that is mental, and I'll type it as mental faith. But when you get it down in the heart and get that revelation with it, that's greater than any psychology. That's something that nobody can take away from you. You won't get a greater peace than you can get from God. You won't get a greater joy than you can get from God. You won't get a greater rest than you can get from God. I don't care what the devil tries to make it look like. This is the best place you can come to. And it ain't just because it's these four walls. It's because it's the Word of God coming across the pulpit, actually leading and helping, lead and guide you. That Holy Ghost takes and leads and guides you.
Amen.
All through life.
Amen.
So I thank God for that. And so if you have your Bibles, move on to what I really came here to preach. But I thank God for this revelation.
Yes.
I thank God for having a word that's helped me, Brother Jim.
Yes, sir.
Because we've all had trials and tribulation. Every son of God will.
Yes.
Just a part of it. It builds character.
Yes.
Makes you who you are.
Yes.
But He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never left me without help.
Amen.
He's never left me without a way to escape.
Right.
He's always been right there with me.
Amen.
He's never failed me one time. Matter of fact, when you get to the root of the issue, quite often it's me that's tried to walk away from Him.
That's right.
Jonah ran from Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And God had it right, you know, to destroy him if He wanted.
Yeah.
But God loved him and was going to use him.
Amen.
And said, "I'll make a special fish just for you, Jonah. I'm going to get you right back on track. Because I know you're running from me and running away as fast as you can. But don't worry, I got that taken care of. I saw you make that decision before you even made it. And I'm going to have a fish prepared for you. And I'm going to turn this thing so flipped upside down, I'll put you in there for 3 days and you'll be a perfect type of Jesus Christ." That's how God works. That's how God works. You won't find a greater than Him. Don't let the devil lie to you. The grass isn't greener.
No.
See, that's the problem. You know, you talk about people leaving sometimes, they think the grass is greener.
Right.
But the grass ain't greener.
No.
It was funny. We were talking on the way over here about different countries and people want to go to different countries and live. But, you know, I'm not going to say this thing right, but they always say, you know, something will look perfect to you, but then when you arrive and you actually get to see it, you recognize that it actually has just as many issues or issues just like anybody else.
Amen.
Oh, that's a perfect church. Come to the church, you'll see they have people in there with issues just like anybody else.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a perfect family. Come to my house, you'll find out we got issues just like anybody else. Oh, Elise and Jeremiah never, ever have had a disagreement. Come to my house, you'll find out we got issues just like anybody else.
Amen.
Oh, we've never had words with each other. Come to my house, you'll find out we have issues just like everybody else. It's just the devil that tries to paint these pictures that everything's so greener. And don't get me wrong, we have a great house, but that's built on the Word. But I'm just trying to say, the devil lied to you, trying to look at somebody else. Oh, I want it to be like that. You want to be like you. You want to be what God's made you.
Amen.
Grass is not always greener. That's just a lie of the devil. It's what causes separation. It's what causes envy. It's what causes lust and all that. You all trying to be like somebody else. I mean, God's made you who you are.
Amen.
Psalms, 1 Samuel. It's not Psalms, 1 Samuel. I'm going to jump two scriptures here. 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. And I'm going to jump down, but this is first talking about Saul. And Saul was the king at this time. Been reigning for a little while. And really, in summary, he had just made a decision that didn't make God happy. I'll just summarize it that, and that's where I'll come in here. Verse 11, and Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" Because Samuel was the prophet in the day at that time. And said, "Because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash," if I'm saying that right. "Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering." Put himself in there, man. He's going to do it. Listen to what Samuel said to him. This would be harsh coming from a prophet. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly."
Right.
Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord establish thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. Now listen, this is the next verse. And the Lord has sought him. This is what the Lord wanted.
Yeah.
A man after his own heart.
Right.
And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. And because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Turn with me to Acts, the 13th chapter, right quick. I'm going to just jump into verse 21. He's talking about that same Israel that's talking here. He said, afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after thine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. My title tonight is A Man After God's Own Heart.
Amen.
Been preaching on a few things here and talking about different things, and this just came to my mind this week because God was after somebody that was after him, Brother Deskins. Because if you're after God's own heart, you know what that means? You'll like the things that God likes.
Yeah, that's right.
You'll love the things that God loves.
Yes.
You'll want what God wants.
Yes.
Simply put, you'll want to do God's will.
Yep.
And in one sense, you won't be able to help but do it because your heart, very heartbeat, right, is after God's own heart.
That's true. That's true.
And what made me think about this is that quote I closed with is Brother Branham was interviewing that little woman. And she said, Brother Branham, I know I do things I know are wrong.
Right.
And Brother Branham clearly said she was a godly little woman. And he said, sister, don't look at yourself.
Right. Amen.
But look at your desire.
Right.
That's what God looks at. God looks after the heart.
Amen.
It's what your desire is to do. And I'm glad God looks after the heart.
Yes.
Because what God has always wanted is somebody that would amen and agree with all his word.
Yes.
Yes. That was the problem with Eve, the first Eve. It didn't just take but one word of disagreement with God's original word to throw the entire thing into chaos.
Right.
And what God wanted was somebody that would amen the entire word of God.
Amen.
And he's got an Eve now called Mrs. Jesus Christ. That is a bride that is right after his own heart.
Amen.
Oh, that gets me excited. God has a wife that loves him, and he loves her back. And she wants to do exactly what he wants to do. They're so much in unison.
Amen.
Now, here's the thing about this. Let's talk about David for a minute. I want to bring in a few points. David was a man after God's own heart. Well, let's look at David's outside for a little bit. David had Uriah, I think his name was, murdered because he was the husband of Bathsheba, who he wanted.
Amen.
Murdered. That's essentially the way to say it. And I ain't making light of it because let me throw in the other side. There is a shepherd that will rebuke you.
Yeah.
David would have had Bathsheba eventually given to him by God.
Amen.
Why? Because it was from Bathsheba that Solomon came from.
Yeah.
If David would have been patient and waited on God, he would have ended up with Bathsheba anyhow. All he had to do was ask.
Yeah, yeah.
But David got ahead of God, and David got rebuked, and he got corrected, and that's still very much part of it. It isn't just that we go do anything we want. God will correct you.
Right.
But the point I'm making is the fact that he murdered Uriah did not stop him from being after God's own heart.
Amen.
He went and touched and tried to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. Because he loved God, and in one sense had the right right thought, but he did it wrong. He didn't do it according to God's word in that sense. Only the priest could carry it.
Right.
And so, and David had the right desire, but point on being, David wasn't all right in everything he did, brother.
No, sir.
That's just, but he did have one thing right.
Amen.
He had a heart, a desire.
Amen.
He loved God.
Amen.
Despite his problems, when that bear came up to him, he said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
God's with me.
Yeah.
You can't defeat my God. He was a believer. That was his, what he had going for him.
Yes.
He had that lion. He slew that lion.
Right.
And when everybody else was afraid of Goliath, David believed God so much, he said, wait a minute. Philistine to defy the armies of the living God?
Yeah.
Give me some armor. I'll go out there and defeat that thing.
Yeah.
David loved God.
Amen.
He believed his word. His very heartbeat was God. So much so he wanted that Ark of the Covenant back.
Yeah.
He wanted to be where God was. He wanted to fulfill God's will.
Amen.
That Ark of the Covenant returned. He was so excited about that. He didn't care what it looked like. He didn't care what people thought about him.
Yes,
he started dancing around that Ark. He so much so got in the spirit. He started taking his clothes off, looking naked. His wife was up there looking at him saying, David, you're embarrassing me. But David didn't care. He loved God, saying, who cares what the world thinks? Who cares what the critics think? I'm serving my God, and he's taking care of me. And despite what I've done, he still loves me. Oh, that's what David had going for him. He believed God. He loved God. He fulfilled God's will. That's what made him a man after God's own heart. How do I work the works of the Father? Believe on him who the Father sent. I can give you many scriptures. David fulfilled the word for the hour.
Yes.
David had a desire to do what God wanted for that day and that hour.
Right.
That made David a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
And that's what makes God happy.
Yes.
You say, you know, because some people will think, oh, I'm going to work my God. I'm going to make God happy because of my works. I'm going to work it up. That's just a bunch of mechanics. That's a bunch of intellectualism. That's a bunch of trying to mimic what you think's right to do. And some of those things that you do are good things to do. But that ain't how you please God. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
You get a revelation. You love the word of God. That's what makes you have a heart after God.
Amen.
That's what God wants. That's what he sought. He wanted somebody that was going to love his word no matter what.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you this morning, or this evening, you, if you've been born again, have a heart after God's word.
Amen.
You're a man.
Amen.
You're a woman.
Yes.
After God's own heart.
Amen.
God loves you.
Yeah.
You love God.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to jump too far into my scripture, but you're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
When God finds somebody that's made after his heart, he doesn't altogether focus on the flesh too much, as Brother Branham said. He looks at that desire and what that person does with the word. And if that person's in the word for their day and its hour, God is tickled to death.
Amen.
That's what he loves. He loves that faith. He loves that revelation.
Yeah.
And if you're born again, you get a nature change.
Yeah.
You get a heart change.
Yeah.
A life change.
Right.
A desire change.
Right.
You were once born by your mom and dad and had desire to the world and the lust thereof you fulfilled.
Yeah.
But God come down and revealed his word to you. And you were just like David. You loved his word.
Right.
He saw you going to accept his word.
Right.
And he gave you a little predestinated seed. And then when you got born again, he annihilated that old soul and gave you a new soul.
Right.
And that is there. That's the very nature of you that makes you love and serve God.
Right.
When I use the word make, I'm just saying it's your very life. It's who you are. With every heartbeat, you can't help but manifest God, love God, do God's will. You say, Jeremiah, how do I know I have a heart like David? Do you love the word of God? That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. It's not how good you live. It's not how many mistakes you have. It's the fact that you're able to hear the word of God and amen the word of God. That gives you a nature change. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. That means you have a heart just like David had. Oh, that gets me excited. Because if I got a heart just like David, I got the same testimony Acts 13 and 22 has. God's chosen me. And he was seeking after somebody with a heart like him. And I got it. And really, he gave it to me. But I'm glad I got that because I'm the one he's coming to get. I'm the one he's pleased to dwell in. I'm the one that he's pleased with.
Amen.
Oh, we let the devil lie to us. I know I've used that tonight, but he's a liar. He's the father of it. Anything contrary to this word is false. It's a lie. The Bible says, as I read Sunday, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. I could say it's the man or woman that has a nature change, that loves God, that has a heart after God, that loves His Word. That's who that applies to. There is therefore now no condemnation to that person. Thank God for that. Because that's what He looks at. He looks at that desire down on the inside. That's what he really was after. He's using this, but this is eventually got to be glorified. That carnal mind you got is going to go away and be replaced with theophany. But that soul I got in there, that's what I'm keeping it. That new soul is what he wants. That's what's going back. It ain't ever going to die. Because it's a heart after God. And God looks at that desire. And the devil will come along sometimes, and he'll tell you, you're the worst person. And there's a balance on this, people. Because, you know, the devil will talk to you sometimes. It's this critic. Oh, you just tell them they can do anything you want. It doesn't matter what to do. No, if you got a heart for God's own heart, you'll want to do what he wants you to do by nature, and it'll take care of itself. But I'm talking to the devil for a minute the other way. The one that says, you ain't worthy. You're no good. You're this, you're that. You know what? David could have felt that way. Yeah. I've oftentimes said it as I read the Bible and I look through the Old Testament, New Testament, and I read the stories. It's hard for me to identify somebody that was, in our human way of thinking, worse than David. But here he was, a man after God's own heart. And the devil will come along and say, but you're this, you're that. But I'm here to tell you, you can look at him and tell him, get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
I've been born again. I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
I come from God. I go to God. He has made me who I am, and he is happy with who I am.
Amen.
That's what he said about Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in.
Right.
Why? Because Jesus was God himself. Talk about a man after God's heart. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Right. Yes.
God was pleased to dwell there because Jesus was the very manifestation of the Word of God. He had a desire to the Word of God, and God said, I'm pleased to dwell here.
Amen.
We look at ourselves, look how bad I am. Look at the issues I have. But it's the same as that unconditional covenant. Yeah, God will sometimes correct your issues. God will get you where you need to be. God will, you'll reap what you sow. All those things are true. But when it comes to what God's looking for, he's looking at that soul on the inside, that believer on the inside, and that believer amens every word of God.
Amen.
And it's right in the word of the hour. And God looks at you just like he looks at Jesus. This is my beloved Son, whom I am pleased to dwell in. Oh, do you realize that? You can look at yourself. Yeah, I'm 100% man. I know I got problems. But I'm 100% God. When you see me, you see the Father. God's happy to dwell right here. Why? Because this is a person that loves his word, that eats his word, that takes his word, and manifests his word. And sometimes I dance in the spirit just like David. Sometimes I get excited just like him. Sometimes I make mistakes just like him. But I'm going to tell you one thing you can't take away from me. I'm eating up just like him, the zeal of the Lord. He said one day, it's eaten me up. It's consumed me. My very heart beats for God. As the heart panteth for the water brook, so does my soul long after thee. That's how we are. That's every real believer, born again believer, God has that same heart. A heart after God that loves his word.
Amen.
God's happy to dwell right here.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
We're like Paul sometimes. Lord, I got this flesh problem. Take it away from me. Paul wanted that too. So much so he see God three times, the Bible says, I think. Lord, take this thorn away from my flesh. That's a good desire too. I ain't putting that down. We sometimes look at ourselves and say, Lord, help me be better. But that ain't what stops God from being happy. Matter of fact, God looked at Paul and said, Paul, when you're weak, I'm strong.
Right.
We've said this before. If you had everything going good for you, you'd almost forget you need me, Paul.
Yeah, come on.
But because you got that problem, it humbles you a little bit. It lets you know that you need my grace. And I had an attribute to me. I'm a grace giver. I'm the one that comes and takes care of you. And my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. You just go on as you are, because I'm going to keep you humble for a little bit. And the world will almost have you, the church will have you thinking, but I ain't worthy, I'm not this. But God will look at it and say, it's all working together for the good. That Paul, you love me. You're a man after my heart. You're my prophet. You're doing my will. Don't worry about this over here. You just keep doing what you're doing.
Amen.
I'm pleased to dwell in you. Anything else is a lie from the devil. If you know you're born again. How do you know? You just got to know. It's got to be revealed to you. But how's it revealed? If you can just amen the word of God. Get a clear understanding. Recognize your day and his message. That's the evidence of being born again. If that's you, and I believe that's who we are, I know that's who I am, I'll let you talk for yourself. Then there's no devil in hell, on the earth, beneath the earth, that can stop you from going to heaven. That can change the fact that you please God. I don't care how many demons he sends your way. You're a child of God, made by God, loved by God, and God is pleased to dwell in you. He uses me, Brother Deskins, despite my problems. He uses me despite my flesh issues. He uses me despite my letting the guard down. He uses me despite my temper. He uses me despite my lack of patience. But I'm going to go on the other side. He looks at me and says, but there's Jeremiah, who loves my word, who preaches the day in this message, who walks out and manifests my life to people so foolish virgins can meet him, who knew how to judge people and give people grace. That's who I'm happy to dwell in. And you can say the same thing about yourself, despite your issues. Why? Because you're a man and a woman after God's own heart. Oh, that gets me excited. You say you're preaching bad living. I ain't preaching bad living. I'm preaching living your day in this message.
Yeah.
I'm preaching it's got to be in you or you ain't going to do it anyhow.
Yeah.
I'm preaching it's got to be one with you. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be your very life.
Yeah.
And, or everything else you're doing, you're just doing it yourself and working it up. But when it's part of you and it's your very life, you can't help but be that.
Amen.
That's why you
got to
be born again.
Brother Loggy, you said a mouthful. This doesn't apply to everybody. If you ain't born again, I ain't talking to you. But if you're born again, what I'm saying tonight applies to you. If you're not born again, you still have an old soul. You have a perverted life. You have a life that loves the devil and the things about the devil. But when you get born again, you get a new life. It starts manifesting you. It's called eternal life, God's own life, and that is spotless. And that very nature can't help but be God-like, can't help but be the very heart of God, because it is God's own life. And when you got that life, despite your problems, despite what we call shortcomings, despite what we call the top 10 list, if you're born again, God's in the night, is walking and moving through you, and is pleased to dwell inside of you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Other side of the coin, because I'm going to read it in a minute, when you make your bed in hell, he'll pull you out. He ain't trying to tell you to stay there. Oh, just go make your bed in hell and live there. He'll give you a word to get you out. He'll rebuke you. He'll correct you. He'll do a lot of things. But here's a good thing. Even when you make your bed in hell, he's right there with you. That's a man and woman after God's own heart. Where shall I flee from your presence, God?
Come on now.
You can't.
No, no, no.
Why? Because it's your very life.
Amen.
It's your very heartbeat.
Yes.
Psalms 139, let's throw it in there. I've been referencing a lot of...
Yes.
And when I reference Psalms 139, it's something in me that says you got to read that scripture then. Because it's good scripture. A lot of people don't know how to read a scripture and not be afraid of it. I read it and I'm like, I got a revelation. I'm like, this is me. This is talking about me. So let's just read this together. Psalms 139. Start with verse 1. Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. God knows who we are. He's not lost track of one of his. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. You didn't surprise him because you got that problem. But that's not really what he's even looking at. But just so to help you with the devil, God knows all about you. He ain't looking at that flesh issue. He's looking at your heart. Playing with all my ways. When he looks at the heart, he sees nothing but God.
That's right.
For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether.
Yes.
Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. For whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Oh, I love this. If I ascend up into heaven, we all would like to be there all the time. That's our desire. Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Oh, when you got that heart of God, you can't flee from his presence. He doesn't leave you. His promise even says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be in you even unto the end of the world. That's a man and woman after God's own heart. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. You know, we've talked about prodigal son in here before. We've talked about people that it took a while before they even got introduced to God. But no matter where that real seed is, you're going to get found. You've been redeemed and bought back by God. Because God foresaw you, predestinated you, and will not lose any of his. Oh, that's good to know. That's good eating right there, because it don't matter how long it takes you to recognize where God's at. You'll finally recognize him because you're ordained to recognize him. Because you're a man after God's own heart. And he will not lose any of his. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and light are both alike to thee. I understand we got legalists, but sometimes when I read this scripture, I'm like, this tells you how God looks at you. He's looking after the heart.
Amen.
Because any other way, if he looked at the flesh, he'd say, that's a problem. That's a problem. That's a problem in a lot of ways. But he looks at that heart and says, this is my perfect son and daughter of God.
Right.
And he'll correct the flesh and stuff and get it back in line. But what God's really looking at is that heart.
Amen.
That good and that bad that we have to sometimes reap what we sow. God don't let that stop his thinking about you. He looks at somebody that loves his word. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. This is where I wanted to get to. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You can keep reading that whole chapter. He talks about all my members are written in the book. That's a good chapter. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are the righteous whose footsteps are ordered of the Lord. The only way that applies to somebody is when you are a man or a woman after God's own heart. You're spotless. You're sinless. You're perfect. You're predestinated. You might be like Jacob. But I'll say, I am like Jacob. Before Jacob or Esau had done good or evil, God had already declared, I love Esau and I hate Jacob.
Amen.
And we know the story quite well. Esau was the one that his daddy initially liked. Because he kind of lived good.
Amen.
Jacob was kind of whiny. What we call today a mama's boy. Sorry, mama's boys. Can't help him. Moms, when moms love you, you love them back. But he was just kind of, didn't work as hard. It was lazy. Deceiver. So much so, he lied to the birthright. But you know what God loved about him? He had respect. Doesn't mean he loved the lion. I'm not preaching that God loved the lion. But what God loved about Esau,
right,
is he saw a heart after him. Somebody that loved the right thing. Somebody that said, I don't care what it takes. I want that birthright. I want that word of God. I love the word of God. That's who I'm talking about tonight. That's who God's seeking after. He wanted a king after his own heart that was going to fulfill his will. And the only way you truly fulfill God's word is that you are born again in this day and hour, and you live your day in this message. And that's what believers do automatically with every heartbeat. Why? Because it is your very heartbeat. It is your very heart. It is your very life. It is your very soul. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. All things work together for those that love God. Somebody has God's own heart. That are the called according to His purpose. All things work together for your good. Everything around this life, God ends up making it work for my good. I can get gold out of everything, brothers, if I look at it right. It's hard sometimes when it first happens, but at the end of it, you look back, hindsight being 20/20, you said, that helped me, that helped me, that helped me. You saw the purpose in it. That's how God takes care of those people that are after His own heart, His people that love Him, that are called according to His purpose. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Don't let him put you down. You're who God wanted. You're where God wants to dwell. You're where God has you up to this point, right where you need to be.
Amen.
When he tells you tonight to make a step forward, you'll naturally step forward. But you know what? Until I came here tonight, I had everything I was supposed to have. I had every understanding I was supposed to have. And I'll leave tonight and I'll say, oh, that got even brighter, or that tasted good, or there were some more marching orders. But it ain't going to be the devil saying, look, you're way behind. You're way this. No, I'm right. I'm born again. I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And I don't say that because, you know, sometimes there's spirits that say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You can't rebuke me. God can rebuke you. That's part of His fearfully and wonderfully making you. He'll give you His word. He'll tell you what He wants. He has a right to rebuke us anytime we come in this. This is a house of correction. He can tell us where to turn left, where to turn right, what we ought to do, when we ought to listen to our husbands or not argue with our wives or take care of our wives or work harder or don't lie or get to church more. God has a right to do that every single time He talks to you.
Amen.
Corrects you. But it's done in love because He loves you. Because those who He loves, He rebukes and chastens. This is a love affair between you and God. Just like a natural marriage is a love affair between your wife. Because that's the thing about marriage. Sometimes you can hear the word and it can still be so mechanical, and you try to apply it intellectually. It doesn't have the same effect when that food's made by love, Brother Lockett. When I can follow the instructions on a box, that's good. That's a good start. But when you eventually start making that thing out of love, that means more. That touches more. That makes the love reciprocate a little bit more. It's a good start when you're trying and you're learning the recipe out of the box. That'll get me excited, but when you're doing something out of love, oh, that means so much more.
Amen.
And that's what this is a love affair between us and God. And even when He's rebuking the correctness, and He can do that and will do that, it's all out of love.
Yeah.
as we were talking Sunday about unconditional covenant, and like we're talking tonight, he looks at the heart. As far as the devil's concerned, fearfully and wonderfully made. God sometimes say, here am I, Lord. It's me, it's me, it's me, standing in the need of prayer. But you know what? I got what I need.
Amen.
I got what I need to go in the rapture. I'm already in the middle of the rapture. I ain't trying to wait on some good living or somebody this or that. You know, yeah, there'll be the last one that comes in or the last false version, whatever that is. But as far as what I need, as for me and my house, I'm born again, Brother Deskin. I got what I need for the journey. I got a revelation. If I lay down my head tonight and don't wake up tomorrow, I'll just transition to the other part of the scripture for those that are asleep. But don't worry, you'll find me somewhere in that scripture because I'm a man after God's own heart. And I am his child. And I will be in that rapture with you. I'll see you here, there, in the air, one way or the other. Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God. I am what he wanted. I am doing nothing but his will.
That's right.
Jesus said, I do all things that pleases the Father. When I'm talking about 100% God, I do all things that pleases the Father.
Amen, Lord.
Oh, you can't stop me from going to heaven. Oh, your criticism or my good or bad and ugly, it doesn't stop me from going to heaven. It didn't stop David from being a man after God's own heart, and it doesn't stop you and me from being a man after God's own heart. God loves you because you love him. He loves you because you love his word. That's what his foreknowledge even allowed you to do. He chose you because you chose him. On one sense, he was choosing you before you chose him. On the other hand, he looked down and saw you choosing him. But it was a love affair, a want between each other. Oh, that makes me excited. I want God and he wants me. I can't help but want him because my heart's after him.
That's right.
I've been born again.
Yes.
I got a new soul.
Right.
I got a new nature.
Amen.
I got a new life.
Amen.
That life is God's own life.
Yes.
That life is after God's own heart.
Amen.
It automatically wants to do the things that please God.
Amen.
I don't even have to wake up and try to make it. Just as much as I don't tell myself to breathe, really. That's how natural this is for me. It's by nature that I am got the life of God inside of me. That's why Brother Moore doesn't follow you home. Try to make it work. You love God, you'll serve him. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You don't love God, you'll run away from him. And not return. But thank God, that's what God wanted, a man after God's own heart.
That's right.
You say, well, what's this have to do with that? This is just the same message I preached Sunday, everyone. It's an unconditional covenant. God looking at a man, a woman's heart, somebody that loves him. That's what pleases him. That's what he wants. That's what you and I have. We love his word, and we're like Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
That's who we are. Yes. It's our very nature.
Amen.
And God chose us.
Yes.
Chose us in him before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
He knows our going, our going away, our uprising, our downsetting. We can't depart from him. We're one with him.
Yes.
We come from him.
Amen.
We're going back to him.
Amen.
He's pleased to dwell here.
Right.
Satan, get behind me. God bless you. Come on, musicians.
Amen.
Love. By this shall men know you are my disciples.
Amen.
You have love one or another.
Yeah. Amen.
I think Brother Moore will be traveling home on Saturday. Continue to creep that trip in your prayers. With any cancellation or delay out, we want him home. I will not be here this weekend. I'm leaving now. So we want him home, or James home, or somebody home, or one of you brothers be ready to take him. But remember, we got Brother Bean coming. And he's going to do a baptism. We got the water filled, and he'll be preaching. And then we got Brother Lockett's birthday party coming up.
Amen.
He deserves to be honored.
Yes.
And then July 10th, going down to visit my dad's church. Looking forward to that. And then July 22nd, we're going to have a good time.
Amen.
Out of Brother Caleb and Sister Andrew's house, good fellowship. We're going to have a bounce house. You know, I almost wanted to have this at my house so I could have the bounce house so I could jump in it after everybody left. Because we have a trampoline, and I've enjoyed that with my kids.
Yeah,
talk about being yourself. There's nothing wrong with having a little fun in your life.
Right.
Enjoying life.
That's
what we're here for to do. So. We'll see. I don't make any guarantees one way or the other. I might jump in the bounce house. But we're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
And that's going to be at 6:30 that Friday, July 22nd. So keep these things in mind. And God bless you. And see you all Sunday.
Yes.
Ain't God good? He is G.
Amen.